The Thursday, December 5th, 2024 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Thank you all for your patience as we worked out our technical issues. Mr. Williams, Commissioner Williams, may we have a roll call?
Yes, you may. Commissioner Stanton. Commissioner Gawe Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Williams, here. Commissioner Lowe.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Commissioner Walters.
Here.
Commissioner Brodsky. Commissioner Ortiz.
Here.
Commissioner Placer.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zinner, are there any changes to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion to approve the agenda by Commissioner Placer.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Ortiz. Thumbs up approval on the agenda. Unanimous? Commissioner Walters? Thank you. That's okay. Unanimous. Thank you. We all received a copy of the minutes of our November 21, 2024 regular meeting. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Thumbs up approval on the minutes. Unanimous. Thank you all very much. Our first hearing of the night is case number 21-2025, a request by Brush and Associates on behalf of Kenneth LaFond for approval of a three-lot final minor subdivision to be known as LaFond Subdivision, and a design adjustment from section 29-5.1D sidewalks along the subdivision's Brown Station Road and Green Ridge Road frontages. The subject 1.76-acre property is located at the northwest corner of Brown Station Road and Green Ridge Road and is addressed 2912 Green Ridge Road. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. In addition to all the information, we had a public notice sent out in the form of property owner letters. We sent 11 of them on November 26th. We also had an advertisement in the paper on 11/19. Here's an aerial isometric view of the subject site. On the western boundary, we have Green Ridge Road, and then on the west, flip that. West is Green Ridge, east is Brown Station Road. Now, I would like to note that that is entitled Brown Station Road, but it's not part of the Collector Street that is to the north there, where you can see where the concrete meets the asphalt there at the intersection on the top right of the screen. This applicant is seeking a three-lot subdivision of the site. It was originally annexed in 1964, but has yet to be platted as it currently exists as a part of a survey. They are also seeking a design adjustment, seeking relief from the required sidewalks as described in 29.5.1D. Lot is currently zoned R1 and has two dwelling structures on the single lot. One of them is a single-family home on the southern corner and a duplex on the western corner. The applicants seek the subdivision to put each existing structure on their own lot and then create a developable lot with the remaining part of the parcel, and no rezoning is being requested at this time. So we've got the duplex here on its own lot north of a watershed creek. Single-family home is to the south of that, and then the undeveloped land that will be available for improvement later on the northeast side of the site. Existing public streets and utilities will not be changed. However, additional right-of-way will be dedicated along Green Ridge Road to meet the half-width requirements. The resulting developed lots will continue to be accessed from Green Ridge, but the undeveloped lot will be accessed from Brown Station, which is why I mentioned that Brown Station here is not a collector. It is still a local residential street. The design adjustment they're seeking from relief of construction of sidewalks. The current immediate surrounding neighborhood has no sidewalk installation along there. Green Ridge and Brown Station. It would also have to be built over the floodplain of the Bear Creek overlay. The culvert that currently exists on Green Station may need improvement at that time as well. As noted in the design adjustment worksheet, residents currently use the right-of-way that automobiles use as well to walk, and that has been that way for the entire time that it's been annexed as part of the city. The pavement on Green Ridge is about 20 foot wide and also has to accept parking on the street at that location. So, as we mentioned, the UDC stipulates that any subdivision action requires sidewalks, and the city comprehensive plan identifies walkability as a very important element in complete neighborhoods in our city. Mr. Schweikert from Brush and Associates was kind enough to provide a few pictures of the site for us to get a little bit of lay of the land of what's going on here. So this is the culvert that's on Green Ridge. Visually may need some improvements, just kind of judging that by eyesight. It would have to, any sidewalk improvement had to be built over this creek and in compliance with any floodway restrictions and such. The street here is quite narrow. As I said, it's a 20 foot of pavement on either side and then does accommodate parking. In the picture here, we have an automobile that is parked on the street that then narrows that right of way even further for practical use. I was able to pull this from our GIS DPW sidewalk maps and what is currently available. Now, yes, it is true that Green Ridge and Brown Station, the residential spur, do not have sidewalks at this time, but there is an extensive sidewalk network along Blue Ridge, Brown Station, and I believe that is Oakland Gravel Road. So we have five criteria outlined in 2952B9, the criteria for design adjustment. The design adjustment is consistent with the comprehensive plan and any policy guidance issued by the Department of Council. Staff does not support this, as the walkability is defined in the comprehensive plan as something that is important for complete and human scale neighborhoods. Not connecting this to the existing sidewalk network would not be it would not be consistent with the comprehensive plan. My apologies. So the second criteria is that the design adjustment will not create any significant adverse effects or impacts on any lands abutting the proposed lot or to the owners and occupants of those lands. Staff does support that criteria being met. Not building a sidewalk would continue existing conditions, but it may inhibit future enthusiasm to build sidewalks further on down the line. Third criteria is that this design adjustment will not make it significantly more difficult or dangerous for automobiles, bicycles, or pedestrians to circulate in and through the development if those subdivision standards were met. This is not supported, once again, because residents have been noted in the design adjustment worksheet that they're walking in the street, and that's not safe at all. That road is narrow, and it puts pedestrians at risk. Fourth criteria is that the design adjustment is being requested to address a unique feature of the site or to achieve a unique design character. Staff does support that because of the creek there that will potentially significantly increase costs incurred by the applicant in this scenario. And the final criteria is that the design adjustment will not create adverse effects on public health and safety. Once again, we do not support that because that puts pedestrians at risk in the subdivision. Our conclusion is that the subdivision of lots is consistent with the surrounding existing conditions. It will reduce a nonconformity by reducing the amount of primary structures on an R1 lot. As previously mentioned, the existing condition is that there are two dwelling structures on the single lot. Now, the western corner structure is a duplex, and that is not allowed in R1, but it would be reducing that nonconformity to one structure on one lot. The design adjustment for the sidewalk construction, however, is not consistent with Columbia Imagined. The current conditions are deemed dangerous for pedestrians, and granting this adjustment may discourage future sidewalk installation if somebody else around in the same area were to plat their property. Staff's recommendation is approval of the following: a 3-lot final plat LaFond subdivision, subject to technical corrections on the plat, submission of construction plans for sidewalks if the design adjustment is denied, and a performance contract, as well as delayed council consideration until technical corrections and construction plans are approved if they are required per the decision on the design adjustment. And staff recommends a denial of the design adjustment to waive sidewalk installation along Brown Station and Green Ridge Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to double check with legal, we need two motions, one on design adjustment and then one on approval of the plat.
That's correct. I think that's the preferable way to handle the.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very good. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there questions for staff? Commissioner Williams.
Just quickly, if you could clarify for me, if it's plotted R1 and you said there's a duplex at existing, what's the implication of that for the
The lot that the duplex is on?
So it would end up creating a nonconformity in that there would be a multifamily structure on a single-family lot. However, the existing condition is that there are two structures on a single R1 lot. So while the resulting parcel would be nonconforming, we are lessening the nonconformity by putting at least one structure on one lot.
And from the built environment, I mean, from a zoning perspective, it was suggested that in order to correct the inconsistency in the land use type to the zoning, that possibly pursuing a zoning request to change the duplex parcel to R2, which would be an appropriate zoning, be sought. However, in looking at the surrounding land use conditions and zoning, it is a predominantly R1 zoned environment, and therefore if redevelopment of that duplex lot were to be proposed through voluntary removal of the duplex, it would be only allowed to be improved with a single family structure unless it were rezoned. So we, as Curtis has pointed out, by creating a separate lot for the duplex, which is the existing, is a nonconformity in addition to having two principal dwelling units on the one lot. We are reducing it, but if you were to then pursue rezoning, you would make everything fully compliant if approved. However, if you don't, we are preserving also the opportunity to ensure zoning integrity within the neighborhood should that dwelling unit be removed. So it will function as a legal nonconformity. That legal nonconformity could be expanded, provided it isn't encroaching into any other regulated environment. Typically, it could be expanded in a minor manner, pursuant to our non-conforming requirements, also pursuant to our non-conforming requirements, if the structure were destroyed by an act of God, it would be allowed to be reconstructed in its current configuration on the foundation that is on that property. That is also a provision that exists within our non-conforming provisions of the code. So we get rid of two structures on one lot by the planning action. We really don't get rid of the fact that there's a duplex here on an R1 lot, but that duplex has been there since probably the early 70s.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Commissioner Walters.
I had a couple of quick questions. Has there been any history of incidents or accidents that have been reported up and down Green Ridge regarding pedestrian injuries and so forth with vehicles?
Not that I'm aware of at this time.
Second question is, the city ultimately in the future decided they had funds to wanted to build a sidewalk totally up and down the Brown Station Road or Green Ridge, if that would occur, how would any adjacent property owners, would they be assessed any value, any fine, any fees at that point as a result of that construction? If the city decided, hey, we want to put a sidewalk down here, and to benefit everybody, would the adjacent property owners be impacted from a monetary point of view?
So the city does reserve the right to tax bill for the purposes of public sidewalk installation, the properties that would be benefited from that. That is a process that has rarely been facilitated due to generally the lack of support. We presently have sidewalk projects that are being built as a part of capital investments that may be through reconstruction of the other roadways. So if Green Ridge Road were reconstructed or Brown Station Road in this particular area, those costs for sidewalk construction associated with the road reconstruction would normally be rolled into one and there would be no monetary impact. So it would depend on the type of action the city was taking. There is no capital project right now. There's no identified CIP project, capital improvement program project, to do sidewalk on either road right-of-way. Therefore, if that were to materialize at some point in the future as a priority, we would likely go through public information meetings, assess support, determine what acquisition of easements or any other rights-of-way may be needed. The subdivision regulations, after their readoption in 2017, specifically made clear that any property platted after the effective date of the ordinance is required to install sidewalks as a part of that subdivision action. There are very limited exceptions associated with that. And this particular parcel is located in an environment where none of the exceptions that are within the UDC would apply. So this is actually an outright sidewalk installation mandate unless otherwise waived.
And one last quick question. I did not visit the site. Do these, either of these two streets have curbs on them?
No.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, thank you very much. We will go to public comment. If any members of the public are here, please come forward one at a time. 6 minutes for the applicant and a group, 3 minutes for an individual. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Schweikert, Brush & Associates here in Columbia. I'm here representing the property owner and the subdivider, Ken LaFond. Thank you all for your service and your time listening to me this evening. I want to briefly speak about the design adjustment request and give you a little more information, possibly. Mr. LaFond purchased the property 17 years ago and has long wanted to divide the portion of ground on the northern side as a new buildable lot and also separate the existing duplex and existing house onto two separate lots for possible future sale of the two structures separately. The result of Mr. LaFond's desire, if approved, benefits the city in that it brings these two structures closer to conformity, as was discussed, to the City of Columbia standards by putting the residential structures, even though one is a duplex, on separate lots. Our reasons for asking for a design adjustment for the sidewalk are as follows. Number one, construction of the sidewalk along the frontage of this proposed plat would be cost prohibitive due to the 580-foot length. There's a water line along Brown Station Road that will need to be worked around or possibly relocated to construct the sidewalk, if in fact it's constructed in the normal area that it is. Pavement along Brown Station Road there is the edge of pavement, the south edge or the east edge, whichever you call it, is at least 35 feet from the right-of-way line. The sidewalk would be built, proposed sidewalk would probably be built near the right-of-way line, which would be, its edge would then be 30 feet from the pavement of the road. There's a 3-foot high embankment there. There is a ditch along that drive, so traversing from the sidewalk as it ends back onto the road would be probably not beneficial for pedestrians and possibly dangerous and in climate weather. At the end of the road, you could possibly use the neighbor's driveway to get back onto the pavement. So in my opinion, the walk along Brown Station Road would be rarely used because of the navigation to get there. Also along Green Ridge Road, as I mentioned, there's a stream to cross, which is very expensive. The nature of this neighborhood lends itself to having a modest home built on the proposed undeveloped lot, making construction of the sidewalk cost prohibitive. Number two, continuation of the existing conditions of no sidewalk in this area does not constitute a negative outcome on the area. This is a long-established neighborhood that has been in existence since the late 1950s and early 1960s, 60 years or so. If the sidewalk is built, it will most certainly destroy the mature trees that line the area within a foot of the proposed sidewalk location on Green Ridge Road. In addition, the next existing sidewalk, northerly of this proposed plat, that would provide connectivity is along Blue Ridge Road, which is 1,600 feet away. At the other end of the plat, the walk would have to be extended 900 feet to achieve sidewalk connectivity. This neighborhood was developed over 60 years ago. The possibility of any additional sidewalk to be built because of new development in a long-standing developed area is very unlikely. So it is highly unlikely that this sidewalk will ever connect to another sidewalk. Number three is consistency. I wanted to bring your attention to another almost identical design adjustment request that was approved or granted, case number 138-2024, May of this year. The address is at 811 Broadway. It's at the intersection of Broadway and Greenwood Avenue. The neighborhood is also a long-standing developed neighborhood of 60 years or more. Upon requesting to do a two-lot subdivision, a sidewalk would have had to have been built along Greenwood Avenue for 200 feet along the frontage of the plat. Greenwood Avenue has no sidewalk at all, just like this present case we're discussing tonight. The next existing sidewalk to the north is at Ash Street, 1,000 feet away. Broadway does have sidewalk along the road, so the sidewalk would have had connectivity at the intersection. This 811 Broadway property had less hardship and more connectivity than our present case that we are addressing tonight, which is on Brown Station Road and Green Ridge Road. I think if a design adjustment that allowed for not building a sidewalk at 811 Broadway was approved in May, if consistency is desired, then the design adjustment request that we are asking for tonight should be approved. I believe if you were to ask the residents of this neighborhood the question, do you think it reasonable to ask or mandate construction of a sidewalk along the frontage of this tract for the right to divide the two existing structures onto separate lots and the right to build one more residential home? I believe a large majority, after considering the above information I just provided, would say no. So that's my statement. On behalf of Mr. LaFon, we respectfully ask that you approve the design adjustment request before you. Thank you again for your time and consideration of the matter.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the speaker? Oh, wait, just a minute, sir. Sorry. Questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much. Anyone else to come forward and speak on this case? Seeing none, are there any commissioner comments? Seeing none, we need a motion on the design adjustment.
Is that first before the...
The design adjustment's before the platting action, and we make all motions must be in the affirmative. So all motions are to approve.
Well,
are you going to fight it out? Commissioner Stanton, please go ahead.
As relates to the case 21-2025, LaFon Subdivision Final Plat, I move to approve the following three lot final plat. LaFon Subdivision subject to technical corrections.
Do the submission. Design adjustment first. Just the design adjustment.
Approving the plat first.
Design adjustment first.
Yeah, do the design adjustment first, then plat.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mr. Stanton, can you talk into the microphone as well, please?
And rewind here, okay. As it relates to case 21-2025, LaFon Subdivision design adjustment, I move to approve. Design adjustment waiving sidewalk installation along Brown Station and Green Ridge Road.
Second.
Commissioner Stanton has moved to approve the design adjustment. Commissioner Lowe has seconded it. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Williams?
Just on the basis of, I think it's important that we provide some rationale given that the city staff has recommended that we deny this. I don't think it would be prudent to vote on it without having some discussion. My view of it is that although I understand what the purpose of the sidewalk provisions are within the subdivision requirements, that in this case, given the small size in the surrounding area, I don't think that the sidewalk is going to be overly beneficial and serve the purposes that was the intent of the sidewalk requirement in the subdivision. I'd also note that it really is only adding one additional property, and so effectively you're adding a sidewalk for one house. So that's my reasons. I intend to vote to approve.
Thank you. I was going to just briefly say this commission, despite the example that the applicant brought forward, has a long history of denying sidewalk waivers. And often, even when they are approved, it's on a split vote. I personally don't usually vote for sidewalk waivers unless there is a real geographic problem, such as a cliff. I think those are about the only times that I have a history of voting yes on sidewalk waivers. I understand the concept of, you know, there's a sidewalk to nowhere. At the same time, there has to be a sidewalk started somewhere. And this is a corner property. So we're getting a sidewalk on two streetways. And so to me, this is why we have the sidewalk ordinances in place. It is to encourage sidewalk development as people are redeveloping properties. This is an older neighborhood. The fact that this property is being subdivided and development is occurring is an indicator to me that that is likely to continue happening. So I agree with the staff that there is no legitimate reason to give them a waiver here that is anything other than their desire to not expend the resources as they're redeveloping these properties. So I will be a no vote, but we each have our own vote. Commissioner Lowe.
We do review the sidewalk cases on a case-by-case basis, so I don't feel we have a precedent per se. In this case, I would consider that there are no vacant lots on Green Ridge aside from one, which appears to be 90% in the floodplain, and I'm not sure if it's developable. So I don't see, there's extremely limited development on Green Ridge Road. Both Green Ridge and Brand Station Road are not improved with gutters, and there is with curbs. And Brand Station drains to a drainage ditch. So bringing a sidewalk in is introducing a completely new form of drainage and infrastructure that just appears inconsistent. And given the lack of continued development in the neighborhood, I don't see it moving forward in that direction. So I will be supporting the denial. Supporting the denial. Thank you.
Commissioner Ortiz.
Hi, I just want to say that I'm going to vote along with city staff's recommendation. As a person who does not drive, who is a frequent pedestrian, I think it's very important to start with sidewalks. You have to start somewhere. And as someone who is on the Bicycle Pedestrian Commission, we get people begging for sidewalks in their neighborhood very often that are very frustrated, who have experienced firsthand what it's like living in areas like these that have been developed that don't have sidewalks. And I want to avoid people in the future coming to BikePed for sidewalks. We can do it now, so I'm going to vote along with city staff recommendation. Thank you.
Commissioner Walters?
I plan to support this because I just think there's no real benefit to having it here. And I think the excuse that you got to start somewhere it's applicable here as it would be if you were closer to an existing sidewalk network, or you were you're on vacant property that was most likely to be improved adjacent to you, where those property owners would then also bear the burden of connecting that sidewalk. Right now, it just seems like an unnecessary burden or unfair burden to the property owner to put up a considerable expense to something that will have no connectivity and no value to the general public.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll restate the motion. So the motion is to approve the sidewalk adjustment. A yes vote will allow them to not build a sidewalk. A no vote will mean that they do have to build the sidewalk. With that, Commissioner, unless anybody else has anything? Commissioner Williams, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones.
No.
Commissioner Williams, yes. Commissioner Lowe.
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson.
Yes.
Commissioner Walters.
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz.
No.
Commissioner Placer.
Yes.
It's 6 yeses and 2 noes. The motion carries.
Thank you. Next on this case, we have the platting action. Is there a motion on the platting action?
As it relates to case 21-2025, LaFond Subdivision final plat, I move to approve the following three-lot final plat, LaFond Subdivision subject to technical corrections, submission of construction plans for sidewalks if, well, it's been denied. I mean, it's passed.
Right, so they don't need to do that.
Delay city council consideration until technical corrections and construction plans approve.
I believe with the approval of the design adjustment, those conditions don't need to be attached with the
technical corrections would need to be, sir.
Yeah.
So technical corrections would be
technical corrections, and just as a course of process. The plat will not be forwarded to the city council until technical corrections have been addressed and approved.
Right.
So the last two bullets are not needed.
Not needed.
Technical corrections are.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to restate it?
Yes, please, Commissioner.
I move to approve the following three-lot final plat, LaFond Subdivision, subject to technical corrections.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Williams, when you're ready.
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones.
Yes.
Commissioner Williams, yes. Commissioner Lowe.
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson.
Yes.
Commissioner Walters.
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz.
Yes.
Commissioner Placer.
Yes.
Yeses and zero noes.
Thank you. Those recommendations will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to our next case for the evening, case number 25-2025, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Club Car Wash Prathersville LLC, seeking approval to assign IG industrial zoning as permanent city zoning to a 7.71-acre parcel of land district subject to annexation. The property is currently zoned Boone County MLP, Planned General Industrial, and is located at 1591 East Prathersville Road. This action is not on annexation. It is on the zoning classification only. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. So as you mentioned, this is case 25-2025 at 1591 East Prathersville Road. It's around 7.71 acres of land and area. And the request for the public hearing is on today is for permanent zoning of industrial general city zoning upon annexation, which will be confirmed at City Council after, this. Public notice was distributed in terms of public information through public information postcards on the 5th of November, of which 18 were distributed, as well as property owner letters, 18 distributed as well, and an ad in the Tribune, which was published on the 19th of November. This is an aerial imagery of the site, just to show a little bit of how it's oriented and what exists around it. The lot makes a little bit of an L shape of sorts. It has three lots by the southeast corner that are kind of inset between that private drive to the east. That are residentially and commercially zoned. The southeasternmost lot that abuts that drive is commercially zoned, and then the two lots to the west of that are residentially zoned. And hopefully this provides a little bit better of an image of it. Again, I tried to combine county zoning and city zoning here for something that's illustrative of what kind of exists. You can see the big vacant industrial zone site to the west of the red image here. Is Fike Subdivision preliminary plat. Just had a hearing for that, I believe, two sessions ago. They're currently devising final platting for that. There's an MC lot, one more to the west of that, and then to the east. It's mostly county. It's RM-zoned county, but it is certainly not used for medium-density residential purposes if you just look directly north of this lot. That is what is considered zoned RM for the county. When I looked at the structure information that I could find through GIS, it stated that this was for storage uses, kind of generally. So, this is an idea of all the uses around here. And then to the south, there's ML County zoning, which is light industrial. However, many of the ML zoning properties to the south are actually either residential or vacant. So there's a relatively significant amount of mix-match between zoning and uses in this particular part of the city. And the last thing I want to call note to is North Tower Drive, kind of on the eastern edge of this. It's the big PD that has the cul-de-sac. Was zoned MP, so planned industrial, prior to 2017, then became PD in 2017, and that was considered for industrial uses. And as was stated before, this site was zoned planned general industrial to allow for the uses that Club Car Wash had on the site. Yeah, so I guess we'll go through a lot of that information again. They're seeking IG zoning upon annexation, and the request for annexation in this case is triggered by a sewer connection agreement between the Boone County Regional Sewer District and the City of Columbia. The connection agreement states that if sanitary sewer flow increases by more than 10% due to redevelopment on the site, then annexation into the city corporate limits is required. Anticipated redevelopment of the site will exceed this 10% threshold, so they're preemptively getting annexed into the city here. Kind of already went through all of the zoning that surrounds it, but we'll go through it again. To the west, it's city IG zoning. To the east, south, and north is mostly RM, but to the south, there are also some ML industrial light county-zoned lots. This is just the excerpt particularly from the connection agreement, which stipulates that they must annex into the city for future redevelopment, which is expected to result in 10% increase of flow of wastewater. And then annexation into the city is required with quote-unquote redevelopment, and that's the term that's defined, which triggers the requirement for annexation here. So uses north of the industrial site, as I mentioned, are primary, it seems, industrial in nature, but are zoned RM, and the PD of North Tower Drive was a planned manufacturing district before 2017. Again, ML lots south of East Prathersville, largely residential in nature, despite having light manufacturing or light industrial zoning in the county, excuse me. Oh, and there's a CG lot. There are two CG lots. One is the southeasternmost one that I mentioned, which is vacant at the moment. And then one just to the east of that on the other side of the shared drive is the Boone County Fire Station number 5. And then another thing to note, particularly as it relates to the connection agreement, is that this site will continue to be served by Boone County Regional Sewer District upon annexation. That was a part of the agreement for this site. So uses on the site presently include warehouse and distribution center, as well as an office. The only zoning districts within the city that would support both of these uses would be IG or mixed-use business park. Mixed-use business park has some use-specific standards as it relates to warehouse and distribution, though, so it could potentially result in something which could be more of a nonconformity. Rezoning should not create any nonconformities, though, for this site to IG. And it has been identified as an employment district in the Columbia Imagine Future Land Use Map. Here's an image of that. The blue, the little blue bit here that I've outlined in red is the site we're looking at, and it is all identified as an employment district, surrounded by neighborhood districts, which again are not entirely used for residential purposes. So anticipated redevelopment is going to increase sanitary sewer flow by 10%, therefore requiring annexation. Will continue to be served by BCRSD after that. Water and fire is provided by the city presently, and electric is going to continue to be provided by the Boone Electric Cooperative. Overall, the proposed zoning of IG is consistent with Columbia Imagine, the existing uses and the surrounding uses of the site. IG is the only zoning district in the city that allows the uses on the site without use-specific standards to exist. And use-specific standards may result in nonconformance if not zoned IG, so IG seems most appropriate. And large lots surrounding this lot all have rights to or currently contain, or many of the large lots do, and that's particularly with the PD for North Tower Drive as well as the Fike subdivision to the west. So ultimately, the recommendation by staff is to approve the permanent zoning request to IG Zoning District upon annexation for this site, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public comment. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and 6 minutes for the applicant and 3 minutes for others. Go ahead.
Good evening. Andy Green with Crockett Engineering. Our office is at 1000 West Nifong Boulevard, building number one here in Columbia. I'm here tonight to talk about the assignment of permanent zoning of industrial for this property, which is currently zoned light industrial planned in the county. It was originally zoned that, I believe, back in the 80s when the first two-story building on the right on the east side of the property was built. I don't know exactly when Club Car Wash acquired it, but this is their headquarters site, and ultimately they just need more space for office. The increase in office use increases the sewer. Per the sewer agreement, we really have to annex to add more office space here at this site. So as David put, the IG seems appropriate for this area when you consider all the surrounding zonings and land uses, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much. Anyone else to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments on this case? Commissioner Stanton.
Madam Chair, if my colleagues don't have any questions, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Please.
As relates to case 25-2025, 1591 East Prairieville Road, permanent zoning. I move to approve the permanent zoning request to the IG zoning district upon annexation.
Second.
Thank you. Approval moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Ortiz. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Commissioner Williams, when you're ready.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams? Yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
8-0, the motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to our next case for the evening, case number 2625. 26-2025, a request by John Hooker for approval of a conditional use permit to allow 208 Redwood Road to be used as a short-term rental for a maximum of 4 transient guests and up to 210 nights annually pursuant to Section 29-3.3VV and Section 29-6.4M of the Unified Development Code. The 0.15-acre subject site is zoned R2, two-family dwelling, approximately 270 feet north of the intersection of Redwood Road and West Ash Street, and is addressed 208 Redwood Road. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. As you mentioned, it is located at 208 Redwood Road. It is 0.15 acres, and the request is for 210-night STR with 4 transient guests. Public notice was distributed as for property owner letters, it was 11/18/24, in which there's 30 distributed, and the advertisement in the Tribune was placed the following day on November 19th, 2024. Here's an aerial overview of the site to briefly get acquainted. Highlighted is the site in question. As you can see, it's surrounded by single family housing, and to the rear, there is the multifamily structures with the, it's fenced in essentially by foliage and vegetation to the north, so it kind of creates a barrier from any other of those surrounding areas, with the school to the north and the multifamily to the east. The location is zoned R2 and is not the applicant's primary residence. It is a two-bedroom, one-bathroom home with in order to be compliant with the driving, with the parking space compliance, it would need to ensure that there's two spaces supplied. The existing driveway has the capacity to support three spaces. So with just two being provided, they'd be in compliance. With the bedroom square footage supplied to us, it permits the 4 guests requested per the STR ordinance, and the final occupancy will be determined by the Housing and Neighborhood Services Department. The maximum 4 guests in question is maximum 4 guests and 210 rental nights. This is used as an STR since September 2024 and is registered as a long-term rental. The total nights used in since September 2024 is approximately 10 nights. The designated agent resides in Columbia, and there is a single violation on record, but it has since been resolved. There's been one other identified unregistered STR within a 300-foot radius. STR, short-term rentals, conditional use permits go through two sets of standards. That is general and STR-specific criteria. And with that being said, an STR is permitted in an R2 zone district subject to the approval of the conditional use permit, acquiring a short-term rental certificate of appliance, as well as a business license. The conditional use permit would support several broad comprehensive plan goals. There would be a semblance of mixed use within neighborhoods. It would support land use and growth management, and it would also support economic development. There are adequate utilities in place, and as I mentioned, there's a wall of vegetation to the north and the east, kind of screening off that area, so there'd be minimal impact. Use intensity may be greater than surrounding areas, the surrounding single-family homes, rather, due to a greater guest turnover frequency, and the noise impact is likely to be minimal. No rent objections to this have been received, and the conditional use permit analysis supports approval. The home is registered as a long-term rental with no complaint record, and the STR regulations would provide oversight and means to address any impacts. Approval supports broad policies, strategies, and actions of the comprehensive plan. Our recommendation is to approve the requested STR CUP subject to the following: 210 nights of rental at a maximum of 4 transient guests, regardless of the allowance of the International Property Management Code, and that 2 driveway spaces be supplied at all times that the dwelling is in use as an STR. I'll turn it over to you guys with any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any members of the commission have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there questions for staff? Seeing none. Oh, sorry, Commissioner Lowe, go ahead.
Thank you. I had a question about the north boundary. The report discusses the adjacency to the school, but then notes that there's mature vegetation surrounding the north boundary of the property. There's also a trail that appears to connect the school to the north end of Redwood Road. I was just curious, this didn't appear to show up in the report.
That is correct. There is a trail, as you can see in the aerial, that would connect that.
I believe that is also part of the Agin Park improvements as well, most likely, that come off the end of Redwood, providing access from the West Ash environment.
Just, I see there's a little more connection than how I interpreted the staff report as it was written. Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions for staff? Commissioner Williams, go ahead.
Just a question to staff. Did we approve recently a short-term rental CUP on West Boulevard?
We actually approved 2, sir. One just up the street, and if we go back a slide or two, so at the corner of West Ash on the south, west corner of West Ash and West Northwest Boulevard, that is 121 Northwest Boulevard. That is what's referred to as the Hobbit House. That was approved approved 2 Planning Commission meetings ago and actually received final approval this past Monday before City Council. And then about midpoint of West Boulevard Elementary at 316 Northwest Boulevard, was another short-term rental that was approved as well. All those 2, however, are outside of the 300-foot radius. As Ross has pointed out, there is 1 unregistered identified short-term rental within 300 feet of the subject site.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public hearing. If anyone from the public would like to come forward and speak on this case, please do so now. State your name and address for the record, 6 minutes for the applicants and groups, and 3 minutes for
Hi, I'm John Hooker. I live at 204 South Garth Avenue, and this is my property. I've owned this property for almost 6 years now, and it's been a rental property since the 1980s.
I'm so sorry. Could you speak more closely?
Yes, I've owned this property for almost 6 years now. It's been a rental property since the 1980s. We recently converted this one to a short-term rental to allow us greater access to be able to take care and manage it. The only contiguous property to this short-term rental is a property that I own at 206 Redwood Avenue. And then the other access is the access that you see there is the access to Agin Street parts itself at the end of the road. So it's at the end of the dead end street there. And if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the speaker, Commissioner Stanton?
Stuff hits the fan. Who do I call and how fast are they going to get there?
I live a mile and a half away, and my designated agent lives 2 miles away.
Thank you.
And we're very careful about who we rent to. We have security cameras on the outside, monitoring the front and the back of the house, see how many people come, go. We always ask everybody that we do a short-term rental for why they're in town and what their plans are and how many people are going to be there.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the speaker? I have one. The property right next door to it, mm-hmm. That one is also a long-term rental?
That's a long-term rental, yes.
Okay.
And I own that.
Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you. Seeing no other questions, thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public to come forward and speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comments. Any commissioner comments? Commissioner Stanton.
Madam Chair, my colleagues do not have any other questions. I entertain a motion. As it relates to case 26-2025, 208 Redwood SR short-term rental conditional use permit, I move to approve the request for the short-term rental CUP subject to the following: 210 nights of rental, maximum of 4 transient guests, regardless of allowance permitted by the IPMC, and two driveway spaces be made available at all times while used as an STR.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Walters. Is there any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Lowe?
I feel as if this case hits on some points that we've discussed recently in work session, and I'm not sure we've fully resolved those. And given that there have been other STRs that have come forward in this neighborhood, I have to admit I'm uncomfortable approving another STR in that it is removing long-term residents from an area where we have a school and other community services located. So because of that conflict and because I feel this is unresolved, I actually am not going to support this. Thank you.
Other discussion? I actually agree with you, Commissioner Lowe. We are talking about an increasing concentration here of not just STRs, but STRs that are not the primary residence of the owners and license holders. So I think this is the first time that we've had a case where there is an STR known to be within 300 feet, and it is in a small radius where we have two others that we have already approved. In addition, it is something that we know would otherwise be in long-term rental or could possibly be in long-term rental and has been in the past. So I am not comfortable with this. We talked a lot as we were developing the ordinance about concentration, And to me, this is an example of over-concentration in an area where we know we have housing need. So I likewise will not be supporting this. Any further discussion? Commissioner Stanton?
I definitely respect my colleagues' positions. I think there's enough spacing between the Hobbit House and this. I do think, and I'm glad that we're remaining conscious of the concentration. I see it differently. I think, yes, it's close to a school. Yes, it's close to a park. I just see other applications why that short-term rental will be good there. That's just my opinion, and I'm not. I would probably agree with you more if one more in this area came up. I would be like, okay. Yeah, but I mean, one more outside of what's already there, maybe. But we're asking people to come out of the shadows and come to us and go through the process and lesson, and I'll say this to the public, lesson, get up here and get your stuff in and get approved, because the more that are approved, the more factors start kicking in. And I don't want to penalize people for not being renegades and being illegally using their property. You know my big spiel about illegal use. I forgot my famous little phrase, but I got to get it back. But these people are playing the game, and this is what we wanted. That's why we spent 4 years trying to figure it out. I think they done what we asked. So, you know, the lesson is hurry up and get your stuff in before concentration becomes a factor to your STR. So I plan to support it.
Commissioner Placer?
I agree with Commissioner Stanton in that it could be perceived as unfairly discriminating against this particular applicant, even though otherwise they comply and have been one of the relatively early applicants. In reality, I wanted there to be a harder distance requirement, especially in this area, especially because of the demand for affordable housing and long-term rentals. I didn't win that, and therefore this one complies, and I don't think we are on good footing to deny in this instance. Now, once this area becomes more saturated, well, I don't even know how we're going to decide if it's saturated, because we made the 300 feet a condition. Like, we could be, you know, flexible and go with 200 or whatever. That bothers me a lot in this particular area, but I don't see a basis for denial in this case.
Commissioner Stanton.
Wonderful points, my dear colleague.
Thank you.
Wonderful points. And I think what the criteria is gonna be is the distance, the number in the area, and the key word here is conditional use, and it's coming before us for us to filter it through our eyes and our experience with this. And I feel no way saying no to another one that may be closer. I think we're getting to that point, and that's why it comes before us. You met the technical requirements, yes. One thing that we've expressed when we were putting this together is saturation in particular areas. And we have to weigh that with getting these people out from underneath the underground. And if we start zapping them too early, we're only like what, 12 in, right? We start zapping them too early, then people are going to go on the underground, and then we got to pull them out like potatoes, and we don't have the resources for that right now. And, you know, I think as long as we continue to be consistent with our decisions and we're voicing our opinion now, hey, this area right here is becoming saturated. Get your stuff in. For everybody else that's still on the underground, get your application in, because mm-hmm. this is going to start making a difference in who gets a permit, who doesn't.
Commissioner Wilson?
I am appreciative of all of the comments. I am especially appreciative of the applicant's note that he has vetted the individuals who live there and will continue to do so. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for your due diligence. And because of that, I plan to support.
Commissioner Williams?
So I share the concern that Commissioner Lowe and Galway Jones have shared about the proximity to the school, and I also share some of the concerns about just the density of the concentration of in this area. At the same time, I think, you know, the 300-foot, you mentioned, Commissioner Galway Jones, about the 300, there being another one in 300 feet, and I don't, since that's not a, when it's registered, I don't feel like that should weigh against this applicant. We don't have anything currently in the CUP criteria that reflects specifically on schools. So I don't see personally a basis for restricting the applicant from getting a license on that basis at this time, based on how the ordinances are currently written.
Any further comments? I think I would feel a lot differently if any of the four that are in the area of the map right now were owner-occupied, whether they were owner-occupied with a 210 CUP or whether they were owner-occupied and never had to come before us, but they're not, and that gives me pause. Any final comments before we vote? Commissioner Stanton?
I think we're doing what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We're setting the tone on how we're going to judge these from here on out. And what weighs on our hearts are owner-occupied versus, for lack of a better word, investment property, proximity to schools, the 300-foot radius per STR. These are things that we're looking at, and I think we've been pretty consistent throughout our decisions so far, and as long as we stay on that path, I think it leaves us room to make the decisions that we're making.
Last call. Seeing none. Commissioner Williams, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
No.
If I'm, do we have a motion on that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
We were in discussion.
Pardon
it's
me.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Commissioner Williams, yes. Commissioner Lowe?
No.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
6-2, the motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Our last case of the evening, case number 28-2025, a request by Lauren Baxter on behalf of John and Lauren Baxter owners for approval of a conditional use permit to allow 700 West Green Meadows Road to be used as a short-term rental for a maximum of 6 transient guests and up to 210 nights annually pursuant to section 29-3.3VV and 29-6.4M of the Unified Development Code. The approximately 0.24-acre subject site is zoned R1, one-family dwelling, and is located south of the intersection of Crawford Street and West Green Meadows Road and is addressed as 700 West Green Meadows Road. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Just briefly reiterating what you said, it is located at 700 West Green Meadows Road. It is 0.24 acres in size. They're requesting 210-night STR with 6 transient guests. And there's 22 property owner letters distributed on November 18th, followed by an advertisement in the Tribune on the 19th. Here's a brief overview of the site in question to get a brief synopsis of the area and the surrounding properties. The subject site is zoned R1 and is not the applicant's residence, primary residence. It is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. And it has the capacity to support 4 spaces in total, but 2 spaces and 1 garage space would ensure parking compliance. The bedroom square footage supplied to us permits the 6 transient guests requested per the STR ordinance, and the final occupancy will be determined by the Neighborhood Services Department, Housing and Neighborhood Services Department. They're requesting a maximum of 6 guests and also a maximum of 210 nights. This has been used as an STR since 2022 and is registered as a long-term rental. The total rental nights in 2024 is approximately 74 nights. The designated agent resides in Columbia, and there is no history of complaints. There has been one other identified unregistered STR within a 300-foot radius. STR's conditional use permit is subject to both the general and STR-specific criteria. That being said, an STR is permitted in an R1 zone district subject to obtaining a conditional use permit, a short-term rental certificate of compliance, and a business license. The conditional use permit would support several broad comprehensive plan goals. It would reflect the mixed uses within neighborhoods, it would support land use and growth development or growth management, and it would support economic development. There are adequate facilities in place. The rear yard is fenced in. And the use intensity may be greater than the surrounding single-family homes due to guest turnover frequency. The noise impact is likely to be minimal. There was one written objection to the proposed use that we've received. Among other concerns that they listed, the outstanding comment was they noted excessive noise coming from the STR. In conclusion, the conditional use permit analysis would support approval. The home is registered as a long-term rental with no complaint record. The STR regulations would provide oversight and means to address any impacts, and the approval supports broad policies, strategies, and actions of the comprehensive plan. We recommend the approval of the requested short-term rental conditional use permit subject to the following: a maximum of 210 nights, a maximum of 6 transient guests, and the condition of approval ensuring no less than one parking space in the garage be made available at all times while the STR is in use. I'll turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public comment. Please come forward if you, and yes, we know it's the picture of the previous one. It's okay.
Well, we're go
it
back.
Doesn't affect the vote.
we'll go back to a correct
motion. My apologies.
Okay. It's okay. Any members of the public to speak on this case, please come forward. State your name and address for the record. 6 minutes for applicants and groups, 3 minutes for individuals.
Thanks for your time this evening. My name is John Baxter. My wife, Lauren, and I own the property for 3 years. We have no comment prepared today, but we're available for any questions you guys may have.
Commissioner Stanton.
You heard my little speech before in the last STR.
Heard it.
So I have two questions.
Okay.
Stuff hits the fan, who do I call? How fast they get there?
Call us, my wife or I, and we're there pretty quick. We live maybe 6-minute drive away.
Okay. Number two, you're in that kind of area where, you know, I've heard noise complaint issues, and this is more of a statement than a question. You're one of the pioneers. If you screw this up, you greatly affect how other people use this opportunity. So you got to be the pioneer and do good if you're approved. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And I say this to everybody. So these first ones, you guys are going to set the tone. You guys screw it up, it's open season. You know what I mean?
Like the previous mentor, we vet our guests the same way. When they request to stay at our place, we ask them why they're here, and they usually tell us, or they always tell us. And we have denied some based on why they say they'd be here, but if it sounds like they may be more than others, we have a good relationship with our neighbors. Okay. We let them know our intentions right off the bat and gave them our contact information, and always keep that communication and let them know if they ever have any issue at all, that we want to know, because we do want to be good neighbors. We want to do things the right way. We don't want to be a nuisance of any kind. We've never received any type of noise complaint from anyone else. So when we saw that, that was kind of a punch in the gut to us, because we truly do try to do things the right way and be good neighbors. That is a top priority for us.
Good to hear that. Thank you.
Any other questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much. Any other members of the public to speak on this case, please come forward.
Hello, my name's Colby. I'm here with my partner, Mia. We live immediately adjacent at 702 West Green Meadows Road, and we just wanted to provide support.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We'll need a full name.
Colby Bratton.
Thank you.
And we just wanted to provide support for this. We'd also like to say that we originally were not aware that this has been an STR for the last 2.5 years or so, but we've not had any issues. We would like to get contact information before we leave, if possible, but we have no objections, and we have not had any noise complaints coming from us, so most of the short-term tenants are wonderful. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Wait just one moment, please. Any questions? Commissioner, Wilson.
No questions. Thank you for coming forward.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Anyone else from the public to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments on this case? Commissioner Stanton?
Madam Chair, if my colleagues do not have any other questions, I'd like to entertain a motion. As it relates to case 28-2025, 700 West Green Meadows Road, STR conditional use permit, I move to approve the conditional use permit. Thank you. For 210 nights, maximum of 6 transient guests, regardless of the allowance by the IPMC. Conditional use of approval assured no less than 1 garage parking space be made available while the STR is in use.
Any second?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Walters. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Williams, whenever you're ready.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams, yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
8-0, the motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be sent to City Council. Next, public comments. If any members of the public have a general comment they would like to make to the commission, please step forward. This is your opportunity. Seeing none, Mr. Zinner, staff comments.
Yes. You will notice that there seems to be a gap or maybe an error in the date here. It's not as we discussed in our work session. Your next meeting is January 9th of 2025. We are turning the calendar yet again. We do not have any cases for the 19th meeting, so our work session topics that we had will be carried forward to the January 9th meeting, as well as some continued discussion on our small lot standards project that we have been working on. And then we do have a number of business items on our January 9th, 7 p.m. meeting, and those contain two of the three. We inadvertently indicated the Prather's Road annexation request again as a repeat. We actually have a case that is off of Wilson Avenue that is in Ben Stevens. It is a replat of a property that's not formally platted, and therefore that will be coming to you, and we will show you the graphic of that. We have a request for a PD zoning amendment to an undeveloped parcel down at the Bristol Lake subdivision at the northwest corner of Bristol Lake Parkway and Gans Road. This was formerly identified as a multifamily development tract within the Bristol Lake subdivision. It is being proposed to be developed with small cottage-style single-family detached houses, and as such requires a statement of intent revision. And that is what the rezoning action is for. The PD plan is a brand new PD plan since the subdivision plat and PD plan just showed a vacant lot for this tract back in the mid-2000s when it was originally approved. And then the third item that is on the agenda is another short-term rental CUP request at 1003 Sunset Drive, which is off of West Boulevard just to the west of West Winds Drive. Your maps, to put us into context, they're at the corner of Wilson and South William is the replat. In essence, what is happening here, you will notice that there's a home in the upper northeast corner of that property. The property line runs north-south on that property. The replatting action proposes to reorient the property line to be east-west. And then the purpose for the platting action is one, we have a sewer line extension that's required, as well as the property requires Planning Commission review due to it not being a legal previously approved lot before the commission. Your Bristol Lake Parkway parcel, this is the immediate entry corner into Bristol Lake subdivision up across from Phillips Lake and the fishing pier location of the Phillips Lake Park property that the city owns. And then on the far graphic, that is our CUP request for the short-term rental there off of Sunset Drive. Those are your three items for the upcoming agenda. We are starting to clear our docket of projects from the prior year, though our volume of concept reviews, which are normally a precursor of activity for the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as other council actions, aren't slowing down significantly. So that is still a sign that people are wanting to come in and investigate development within the City of Columbia, and we hope we'll be seeing a continuous flow of activities. As we talked about within our work session towards the tail end of our meeting, we are 6 months now into adopted short-term regulation standards. Compliance is required by June 1st of 2025. As Mr. Stanton has encouraged the public that may watch in TV land that operate short-term rentals, get your paperwork in now. We do need to start seeing more applications in order to be able to effectuate processing them to ensure compliance. And we will, as we monitor the application process, also be cognizant of how we are ensuring that we are respecting the time of this commission by not overloading you with requests, and we'll continue to work towards streamlining the application review process before this body to continue to move them through at an appropriate pace. Again, at the close of another year of working with the commission, and this is the beginning of my 16th year now with the City of Columbia, I don't know how many of these meetings I have sat in and sat before a body of this nature. It is with my heartfelt appreciation and best wishes that you all have a wonderful holiday season, and we look forward to seeing you all again at the beginning of the new year for another year of fun and frolicking as we move through the regulatory process in the City of Columbia. Thank you very much for your attention tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. If I don't miss my guess, did we have two first presentations? Like two of our staffers presented for the first time tonight?
I'm hesitating only because I know Curtis's presentation this evening was the first, and I could have sworn I have had Ross present once before.
Yeah. Ross has.
Oh, Ross has. Okay.
So
okay.
I think what you will start to see, and this is as I mentioned during work session, and so the public that watches in TV land again understands, as the staff is becoming more familiar with our processes, I will still be behind the rudder, guiding the ship, but will not be taking as a direct active role in presenting to you. I'll be still conducting your work sessions for you with support from both David Kuntz, one of our other planners, and Mr. Palmer. But you're going to start to see some faces and hear some presentations from the rest of the staff now. We're ready to let them loose and allow me to continue to look forward to how do we manage the process. So if you all do have, with the schedule being released this evening again, if you do have conflicts for the coming year, please let myself and Ms. Galway-Jones know so we can put those into the schedule. And for the public's benefit, the new schedule for 2025 will be published next week, so that will be available online on the Community Development Department's page under the Planning and Zoning Commission's link that is that can be found there.
Thank you. Well, good job, Curtis and Ross, and I'm glad that we're going into the new year with a full staff or close to a full staff.
Close to full staff.
Any commissioner comments for the evening? Commissioner Ortiz.
I just want to echo that thank you to city staff for your due diligence. All year, all the time, but it was really nice to see people, can I say my age too, doing reports. I think that's really cool, seeing young people like stepping into their power. And thank you all for what you do.
I've used hair for gray, or I'll darken my hair for you so I look younger.
Thank you. Commissioner Stanton, did you have something you wanted to say?
I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Adjournment moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Without objection, we are adjourned.
Thank you.